Christian community gathered in Philippians, in Philippi. Paul writes, "If then there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He continues, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you.
You may be seated. I invite the children to join Hannah out in the comfy chairs. Thanks for reading. Hannah stepped up at the last minute to fill a gap. We're really, really grateful for everyone who reads, but especially for Hannah this morning. Thanks very much. In my first call as a pastor in a little country church outside of San Antonio, I learned just how easy it is to rip a congregation apart. Let me demonstrate. We could ask you to go to one of four corners in this room. I'll name them the UCP, the NDP, the Liberals, and the Green Party, and then we could talk about what we should do in Alberta. That would do it, hey? As I mentioned in the welcome, this is my one chance of the year to talk about geometry. I'm going to talk to you about geometry today. I'm going to break it down. I have a quote in my office that says, "The gospel is a very dangerous thing, and we must see how much of this dangerous idea we could live out in our lives." Jesus did not get crucified because he was a nice man. Jesus got crucified because he threatened the authorities, political and religious authorities, and that is the reality. That's the truth of the faith that we practice. That's the foundation of our faith. Jesus was not a nice man, and sometimes we get this confused because we think Christians should walk around in the world being nice. It's not what Jesus did. I'm going on record. That is not what Jesus did. So Jesus lived at a time when the politics looked like this. Can I have my first slide? This is geometry. Politics looked like this, right? How much room is there at the top if the political structure is a pyramid? How many people fit up there? One. Who was the one at the time of Jesus? Caesar. Everything that happened in that community was at Caesar's command. Now, Caesar had people close to him. People right underneath him supporting him. There was somebody who was ruler over the Jews that reported to Caesar. In every area of Galilee, there was somebody that reported to Caesar. And Caesar was really, really smart. He had this broad base of armies spread all across the world, and he had them serve for a number of years. And then when they retired, he gave them land in the places that had been conquered so that they would settle there and keep the rule of law, keeping who at the top of the pyramid?
Caesar.
But there's a big, big problem with structures that are shaped like pyramids. Can I have the next slide? There's a lot of dirt underneath them holding them up. A lot of dirt. In Jesus' time, there were people who were actually considered dirt. They were on the outside of community. They fed themselves by going to the garbage dump and picking through things people had thrown out. There were people who were outcasts, who were considered less than. And we know, even from knowing the history of the Egyptian world, that the Israelites worked as slaves to build these very structures. And that's where we get the saying, you know, Egypt was built on the backs of the people. In fact, every empire is built on the backs of the people. This is the world that Jesus inhabited. He lived and dwelt in this world. But he did not subscribe to pyramid geometry politics. He didn't have any problem telling people the way that it is, that people are left out. People our leaders are called to serve are actually trampled upon and used as dirt to build the foundation of the empire and to keep who at the top? I was thinking a lot about today's sermon, how we call it Christ the King Sunday. We don't have a lot of kings in our world anymore. We have some, but not a lot. So I was thinking maybe we should call it Christ the Premier Sunday. Christ the Prime Minister Sunday. Christ the President Sunday. Christ the UN Sunday. We have the word potentate. Did you notice we sang that word? We had a little vocabulary lesson in choir. Potentate, all-powerful ruler. Christ the potentate. Christ the king. I'm kind of partial to Christ the benevolent dictator. See, I'm all right with pyramid structures as long as Jesus is at the top of that. You know, if I were in the South, people would have shouted a word.
Amen.
I'm all right with the pyramid if Jesus is at the top of it.
Amen.
Because, see, it seems that Jesus' work in the world was to change geometry. Jesus came into the world to change geometry. Well, this is my politics sermon now. Jesus came to change geometry. You know, you picture yourselves at corners of the room fighting about what Alberta's going to do, but this is Jesus' plan for Alberta. Can I have the next slide? It's actually Jesus' plan for all of politics and the whole world. Hey, we have all these verses that talk about Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. How can you be the beginning and the end? How can you be the start and the finish? Only if you're a circle. Where's the beginning and where's the end? And why do we call him potentate of all time? Because it goes on forever. A circle has no beginning. It has no end. And this actually is the political world that Jesus was advocating. This, by the way, is actually the political idea that gave rise to democracy. But, you know, human beings have a lot of trouble with politics. We have a lot of trouble with power. Because often hand in hand with power comes wealth. And we are imperfect beings. So I don't care which ruler in our human lineage you look to, every one of them was in some way or another corrupted by power, wealth, or both. In the democratic system, we learn to have people lobby our government on behalf of the people that have power and wealth, hey? And what happens to the people? The circle begins to be squished back into more of a pyramidal shape. The players at the top are different, but the effects at the bottom are the same. We are called to worship Christ the King. Christ the Premier, Christ the Prime Minister, Christ the President, Christ the head of the UN, Christ the potentate of all time, who's in the process of taking those pyramidal structures and squishing them out so that they become circles. And this is not just any old circle, it's a circle that includes every single blasted person on the planet. Can you imagine a world where people's needs were met, where everyone mattered equally? Where when there was a disaster in anyone's home, the world rushed to defense, to relief, to support, to encouragement. We see it sometimes, right? If there's enough media attention, we rush to aid. I'm thinking now of the Humboldt bus tragedy, hey? It is in our DNA to rush to such rescue. It is in our DNA to be formulated like this circle. And Paul says it himself. Therefore, just as you've obeyed me, always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm reading my Bible and I see the word you, I think this, Laura, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you with me? Is that how you read too? When you read you, do you read your name? You know, work out, insert your name. This is where English really fails us, because the Greek is plural. Thank God I spent some time in Texas. I have some experience with the plural. Paul is saying, all y'all work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's God who's at work in you. In other words, it's in your DNA to be shaped like that and not like a pyramid. Work it out. So who's afraid of the political arena? Who doesn't want to take action? What does it say? Work it out with fear and trembling. It's not supposed to come easy. I spent a lot of time with geometry too. It's really hard to turn a pyramid into a sphere. Easier with clay. Not so easy with lines and protractors, hey? But there's a reason that Jesus wants this structure for us. Not just in our politics, but in our homes, in our places of business, in our church. By the way, this is why we struggle so mightily in this place, is we're trying to turn a pyramid into a sphere. It was kind of a bad idea to send a couple of people to seminary and then ask them to lead, because it forces us into that pyramidal structure, and we're pushing back against that all the time. We're in this place trying to make room for you, for your leadership, for your power, for your ideas, for your brokenness, for your pain, for your aspirations, for your vision. This is not about what Phil and I want or what the council wants. It's about all of us together, hand in hand, making a circle of concern, a circle of hope, a circle of caring. Because when we do that, we get something like this. Can I have the next slide? That's what Jesus is after. Jesus is after the kind of leadership and government, an operation that allows people to flourish so that you can bring your embellishments. You know, when we were raising our boys, we're still, I don't think a parent's ever done with that, but when our boys were little, I noticed that we were dragging them everywhere we wanted to go. So who's with me in the parenting thing? That's what you do, yeah? We decided, because we know about the circles and the pyramids, we studied it a lot, how do we bring circles into our home? Well, you have to be careful where you give those kids power. What we said to them is, okay, you guys can plan our family vacations. We're going to take turns. And Matthew, who is older, it's your turn. Where do you want to go? What do you think he said? Disney World. We should have thought more before we posed the question. we made it work. We went to Disney World. Then it was Paul's turn. Paul, where do you want to go? What do you think Paul said? Disney World. implementing new rules on the spot. We said, you have to pick a different place. We don't do the same vacation twice. He said, I want to go see animals. We figured out how to get to Yellowstone. You know, our kids' relationships with us shifted when we fulfilled their dreams. I'll say it again. Our kids' relationship with us shifts when we fulfill their dreams. The community's relationship with the church shifts when we meet their needs. Can you follow the trajectory? We get peace in the world by changing geometry. So we take one day a year, one, to worship the Christ who's changing geometry. But I'm telling you, he's out there doing it every day. For over 2,000 years, he's out there doing that. And thank God he shifted the geometry, because when he did, it included me. I'm standing here because he shifted geometry. The gospel is a dangerous idea. Equality, equity, inclusion, and care, they seem really subtle, innocuous things. They're dangerous ideas. They're dangerous because they threaten power structures. They're dangerous. They get people killed. But we worship the Christ who not only changes geometry, but conquers death. The women went to the tomb to anoint his body with spices, and there they met two men dressed in dazzling clothes who said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the source of all life, the giver and author of life. He's not here." In other words, go look for him out there. He's changing geometry. Your job is to join him.